Several years ago, after a gospel preacher on a radio program had discussed the subject of a flight to heaven, he received a few days later a letter in the mail that read something like this: "Dear Brother, I'm a man who's in my 80s. I heard your lesson last Sunday morning about the flight to heaven, and it meant so much to me because, you see, I've had a ticket for that flight for about 70 years. I'm looking forward to that flight to heaven because I've been a Christian now for about 70 years. That man might have summed up his letter by saying, I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul of man never dies. Do you have a ticket to heaven? You know, we have just concluded a gospel meeting in which we had some of the most outstanding preaching, I believe, that we could have had on one of the most outstanding subjects and themes that could have been chosen, a journey to heaven. We had some outstanding audiences. Everything about the meeting was outstanding except one thing, and perhaps that stood out in a way. We believe that there were several who were here who heard the preaching about heaven and about its beauty and about all the joys associated with it, who are not really ready to go there and who did not do anything about getting ready to go there. That causes concern. That has occupied my thinking a great deal, particularly since last Wednesday evening when our meeting closed. We saw a great response by many, and yet there must be concern about others who maybe have not really thought it through as much as they should have. To ask that question, do I have a ticket to heaven? I began to think about this idea of a ticket a little bit more after having heard the lessons that we heard in our meeting. And I decided that I would bring a lesson tonight on the way in which a ticket to heaven is like a ticket for an airplane flight here on earth. You know, as I began to compare those two, I realized that in reality what needs to be emphasized is the difference. The ways that a ticket to heaven is different from a ticket for a flight on an airplane here on earth. In trying to find some likenesses, and I'm sure there are a few, what impressed me was how having a ticket to heaven is different from a ticket that you and I might have here. I'm sure that many of us in the audience tonight have flown. We've purchased a ticket for a destination, boarded a plane, took a trip, maybe boarded a plane a few days later and came back. I'm sure that the rest of us who are here tonight who have not flown have at least ridden maybe a bus or a train or some kind of a way of travel and have purchased a ticket for that. There is a likeness between the two tonight in that there needs to be a ticket. There needs to be some kind of arrangements made for the travel that you and I might take here or for the travel from earth to heaven in this way that we were singing about to be on our way to Canaan's land. I want you to think with me for a few minutes about four ways in which a ticket to heaven is different from a ticket that I might get to fly to, let's say, New York City or some other place in the world. And I want to personally urge you to think in a very, very sober way about these differences and to think about your own soul, your own spiritual well-being, your own relationship to God, and your own desire to be a part of that beautiful place called heaven when this life is over. I just can't imagine anybody who would not want to go to heaven. Heaven is such a beautiful place prepared for our Lord in such a way that he said if we understand it as we should, even here on earth, our hearts do not have to be troubled He, through the Revelator John, described it as a place where the gates are pearl, the street of gold, the walls of jasper, and all of those expensive, outstanding types of stones are mentioned further to describe it. I sometimes wonder, recognizing that heaven is a spiritual place, if God didn't just in some way pick the most beautiful things that you and I know and use those to help us understand, as far as we are able with our limited minds, to understand how beautiful heaven must be. I'm persuaded that there's not a one of us who's capable of really comprehending the beauty of that city. In addition to that, to read in passages like Revelation 21, 1 through 7, that describes the idea that there'll be no tears and no heartaches and no sorrows and no problems, ought to cause us to want to go there even more. When I stood at the graveside this afternoon at 4 o'clock with two young adults whose hearts were broken, I thought of this passage. Sometimes when we try and do everything that we can possibly do, we cannot wipe the tears from the eyes. But God can. Sometimes when we add all of the care that we have in our hearts for each other, we cannot take away the hurt. We can only help share it. But God can. And God will in that wonderful place called heaven. That's why it's so important for you and me to have a ticket to heaven and to understand what is involved, that we might be sure tonight, before we pillow our heads and even before we leave this assembly this evening, that we have that ticket in hand, so that when that flight takes off, we will not be left behind nor found wanting in any way whatsoever. Four differences. Number one, the ticket to heaven does not have a coupon in it for a return trip. I think every plane ticket that I have bought in my lifetime, if I remember right, I have purchased for a round trip. The reason for that, you see, was I was leaving home. Therefore, I was going away from home, and I was just as interested, maybe just a bit more so, in having that coupon in that little packet that I got from the travel agency that said that when I had finished with my business there away from home, I could board a plane and come back. And I don't hesitate to tell you that that return trip, especially when my family was at home and when Judy was not with me, was the more pleasant of the two. But there is no return coupon with the ticket that you and I have for heaven. Because, you see, heaven is going to be a place for an eternity. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Matthew 25:46. Roll that beloved passage called the Little Bible over in your mind for just a moment. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, listen to the last part of that verse, but have everlasting life. That means when heaven starts, it'll never end. When we're able to go there, we'll never return. Not only that, we'd never want to return. Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica in that first letter and was answering, perhaps among other things, what must have been a vital question to them at that time. What will happen to those of our loved ones who've gone on? Seemingly some of them had the idea, the misunderstood, misconceived idea, that if our folks have already died and gone on, they won't receive the reward when Jesus comes again. But Paul said, don't worry about that. Don't be concerned about those that are asleep in Jesus. Because, you see, when Jesus comes back, he'll bring them with him. When Jesus comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then he said, those of us that remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. never return. So this ticket that you and I need to have tonight for heaven is different from an airline ticket in that it doesn't have a return coupon with it. In the second place, it's also different in that you will not find attached to it any baggage claims. If you purchase a ticket to take one of the airlines and to fly from here to another city, on the day that you go to make that trip, you have your suitcases, your bags with you, you take them to a certain place and you check them in. The one who's checking you in will give you some little claims. They'll tear off a part of it, put it on your bags, and give you those claims, and usually will staple those to your ticket, or to the little packet, at least, that contains that ticket. When you get to your destination, you'll find the place that says baggage claims. You'll go there and wait until all the bags come in, and then you'll pick up yours, and you have that little claim there to prove that it's yours, that you've brought it along with you on the plane. Sometimes, some of you may have had the experience of getting there and your bags not being there. That they've been rerouted, they've gone on another plane, or did not get off at the place that you did and went on somewhere else. But you know that won't be any concern on this trip to heaven, on this flight that we're taking to be with God, because there'll be no baggage. You and I concern ourselves so much about the things of this world, and there isn't anything wrong with our being concerned about supporting our families and paying our bills, being ready to meet the affairs of tomorrow if God gives us a tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes we may be not unlike the rich young ruler that F.H. referred to this morning. And allow ourselves to be so tied to the things of this world that we are, in a sense, without really thinking, sort of packing our suitcases for heaven. But there's no need of doing that because there won't be any baggage taken. Job, in Job chapter 1, verse 21, Solomon in Ecclesiastes 5:15, David in Psalms 49:17, and Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:7 all said about the same thing. Job said, "Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I leave it. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord." And these other passages emphasize that same idea and add maybe an idea that's a little better understood for us. "I brought nothing into this world, and it is certain I'll take nothing from it." In your mind's eye for just a moment, look at your bank account. Look at the land that you own. Look at the clothing that are hanging in the closet at home. Consider the automobile that you drive, the jewelry that you wear or have in a safe place. And here again, these things are not evil in and of themselves and are involved in that exchange system that's used in life. But just stop and consider for a moment that when you leave this earth to go to heaven, you will not take one thing with you that we've just mentioned. Not a one. I have never forgotten what a funeral director emphasized to me several years ago when he said, "You know, there's no pocket in a shroud. There's no need for one." You see, the only way that you and I can have anything in heaven is to send it on. Some of our missionaries and some who have traveled in that direction may understand this physically better than most of us. There have been times when they knew they were going into a certain area to work that they would pack up things and send it on, and when they got there, what they needed was already there. That's the way it is with heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The only thing that you can have relative to this life with you in heaven is what you send on, and the only thing, and here's what's difficult for us to really get across to ourselves, the only thing that you can send on to heaven is what you give away and use here on earth. to the service of mankind and to the glory of God. Perhaps we need to pause just a little bit and think about all these things that occupy our times, packing our suitcases, when in reality we're not going to have any baggage claims on our ticket to heaven. Number three, all of the arrangements to pay for this ticket have to be made before it's used. That's not the way it is with an airplane ticket. You can call if you have good credit and over the phone give your MasterCard or Visa number and purchase a plane ticket. Or under some circumstances, you can call an agency, particularly if you know someone there, and tell them, I'll be there in 2 or 3 hours, have the ticket ready, I'll pick it up when I get there, and I'll pay you for it then. It's possible for you to purchase a ticket and not even pay anything for it now. Buy now, pay later, which has almost become the motto of American life in the 1980s. But let me tell you something, you can't do that with this ticket to heaven. Because you see, when the time comes that the ticket is to be used, there'll be no more opportunity for payment. As great as the grace of God is, don't miss this statement, as great as the grace of God is for our salvation, that grace will not be active in payment after death and the judgment. It has to be used this side. The benefits of it will be received, but the payment of it is this side. In fact, God's already made that payment. There is a sense in which, as you and I sing that song, Jesus paid it all, that the ticket's already been paid for completely. There is a sense in which you and I just have to ask for it to be issued and reach out and accept it in our obedience. But that's the payment on our part. Not that we could ever earn it, but that in obedience to God, in obedience in becoming a Christian, and in that daily living of Luke 9:23, that daily cross-bearing of Matthew 16:24-26, in that daily living and that daily giving of ourselves to God, we are doing our part to take advantage of the fact that Jesus paid it all when he shed his blood on the cross. But folks, those arrangements have to be made while we're here on earth. There's payment there. Jesus purchased the church with his blood, Acts 20:28. The payment is there. It's there for every one of us. You see, this is one flight where there is room for everybody to go, and there is a way for everybody's ticket to be covered. But you and I, individually, have to make the arrangements this side of the flight. And along that line, we cannot even arrange for each other. I went to Jackson a few weeks ago and picked up a ticket for someone else. I made the arrangements. I called. I made the arrangements. I went and picked up the ticket, brought the ticket back for the one who needed to use it. I could get you to do that for me, but not relative to this ticket to heaven. I imagine that many of us in the audience tonight are sitting next to someone that we love dearly. There may be many others in this building tonight that are very close to you and to me, family-wise or friend-wise. People that we would like to see go to heaven so very much. You and I would be willing to do anything within our power. If we could pay for a ticket and give that ticket to that loved one, a ticket to heaven, wouldn't you do it? Would you not give everything short of your own soul for that? But you can't do it. Because each one of us must make the necessary arrangements by believing that Jesus is. He said, if you don't believe that I am, where I go, you can't come. By each one of us repenting of his sins, by each one of us obeying the gospel and being baptized into Jesus Christ, and by each one of us living for Jesus Christ, the ticket to heaven is such that each one must make the arrangements to purchase it and to have it this side of the time that it needs to be used. Jesus paid it all. But you and I must accept him and accept that offer that he makes to us through his grace, accept it by our faith and by our obedience. There's no return coupon. There are no baggage claims. And arrangements must be made to purchase the ticket this side of the time that we use it. But there's one other way in which this ticket is different. And I guess this one causes me to think more soberly than any of the others. You see, this ticket that I believe that I hold to heaven tonight doesn't have a date stamped on it. I've never purchased a ticket like that on this earth, have you? One of the first things that's asked when I call to buy a ticket is, when are you going? One of the first things that's stamped on each coupon in that ticket is the date that one is leaving, not only the date, but the hour and the minute that one leaves and that one arrives. This ticket to heaven doesn't have a date on it. And you see, the reason that it doesn't have a date on it is that you and I don't know, the angels in heaven don't know, and even Jesus, when he was on earth, did not know when you and I might use that ticket. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. But when is that appointment for you and for me? We know not. And if Jesus were to come back to receive his own bride, to take her to heaven, and this old world end, a fact that is taught in the Bible that it's going to end when Jesus comes back, if he were to return before you and I meet death as we normally think of it, the Bible tells us that we don't know when that's going to happen. And I think some of the events of the last few months have just reemphasized in our thinking that man cannot predict when Jesus is coming. Haven't all of us experienced the suddenness of death? When I think back through the years, the number of times that in the middle of the night the phone is rung and someone unexpectedly has died, among my friends and in my family. Haven't you experienced that? One of these days, it may be many years in the future, and in some ways, I suppose each one of us here tonight would like for it to be many years in the future, like Paul sort of felt in Philippians 1, that he still had many things on earth that he needed to do even in the Lord's work. But one of these days, sometime in the future, the call of death, or the call at the return of the Lord, is going to take place. And in a sense, you and I are going to be asked, do you have a ticket? The date's not going to be checked. The date won't matter. Because an eternity which is timeless will have no calendar. The time of day won't be checked because, you see, the time of day won't matter. Heaven, which is timeless, has no watch, no clock. And that's the reason that there is no time of day, there is no day of month stamped on the ticket to heaven. Do you have a ticket to heaven? Have you made arrangements to take advantage of the fact that Jesus paid it all? Are you interested in taking that trip where there is no return and where there is no baggage that can be carried, but all that you need is already there? All that needs to go is your soul, your spirit, in that flight from heaven, from earth to heaven itself. Only those who have a ticket will be able to board that flight and arrive at that destination in that beautiful city. If you haven't made arrangements for that ticket, my friend, you need to come to the ticket agent. Jesus Christ himself, who can help you have exactly what you need to board that flight. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to come right now as together we stand and sing.
For he is meek and lowly, bear his burden to him turn. He who calleth is the master holy, he will teach if you will learn. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Then his loving tender voice obeying, bear his yoke, his burden take. Find the yoke his hand is on you laying, light and easy for his sake. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest.
Be seated, please. Turn to number 55.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary,
We appreciate these who have responded tonight. In just a moment, I'm going to ask Brother Larry McKenzie, one of our elders, to come and lead us in prayer. Let me read these notes and share with you. I think they all can help us all to stop and think a moment about our own lives. Rob Reeves says, I feel as though my actions are a hindrance and have been a stumbling block to others. Joel Baxley, I've done some thinking. My priorities have been misdirected, and I wish the prayers of the church. Cindy Clark says, I have become a weaker Christian instead of a stronger Christian. I've been trying to handle problems myself instead of having faith in God. I want to be a stronger Christian, be a Christian example in front of my husband and others. I need your prayers and encouragement. Tracy Gentry, I want to be a better Christian. Debbie Anderson says, around some, I give the wrong impression of how I want to be, while with others, I have a Christian front. These two contradict, and that's not God's plan. I want to go to heaven, so please forgive me and give me strength to be the most perfect Christian I can be. I also hope I can take all my friends with me. Please, let's help each other. Andy Phillips makes the statement, I've been fighting with God, and I haven't trusted him or anyone. So many things I see that scare me, things others won't see or can't. I'm afraid. Pray not just for me, but a lot of others who are going through pain. I don't understand why. I just have to trust him. Lenita Meadows says, lately I have been far away from God, and I feel empty. I want to have a ticket to heaven so I can spend my eternal life with him. I'm also going through a hard time right now and need the prayers of the church so that I can be strong enough to make it through the hard time with God on my side. Melanie Toms says, I've not been coming faithfully to church lately, and I've said and done a lot of things which I regret and truly sorry for. I feel I've also wrongfully influenced and hurt my friends, so I hope will forgive me. I'm asking for forgiveness and for the prayers of the church. Suzanne Haynes makes this statement, I've not conducted myself as a Christian ought, I've done and said things I should not, and I've let down many people, I want to ask them and God for forgiveness, because I want so much to go to heaven when I leave here. And Terry Clark makes this statement, I have forgotten the assembly, I haven't been faithful in my service to the Lord, come forth to ask the forgiveness and prayers of my fellow Christians. These statements should not only cause us to appreciate these who have come and asking for our prayers, but cause all of us to do just a little more soul-searching about ourselves as we pray with them, Brother Larry.
Our Father in heaven,